explained that Gilga is a year-long island-wide celebration of the Manx language. Tiffany Carouche has recently been appointed by Culture Vannon to make the year go with a swing.
Yeah, my role has been created for this year, and the role is all about pulling together all of the different strands of activity that are going to be happening throughout the island during 2026, making sure that everything is collected, put in one place so that people can find out exactly what the opportunities are, how they can get involved for themselves or for their business. And making sure that all of the community events that come out of this year are all promoted properly, put in one place. So, it's a lot of organising, planning and promoting, just to make sure that the message gets out and everybody knows exactly where to go for information.
And having been in the position of trying to collate information so that it's all in one place, that's not the easiest of things to do, is it? Because if you happen to be organising an event, you're more likely to be putting your focus into the event itself and making sure that people turn up and making sure that you've got the right sort of place to hold your event, and all these sorts of things are in your head, and the last thing probably in your mind is I'd better know, let's blame the Gilga coordinating team know.
Yeah, that's right, but it's really important that you do let us know, and actually go to the yearofmanx.im website as your first point of call if you are considering putting on an event for Year of the Manx Language, because you'll find so much really useful information and resources there to help you with the planning of your event, right through from looking at some different funding options to things like how to do a risk assessment, and then how to put out social media posts. And of course, it prompts you on there to make sure that you submit your event to the Year of Manx Language so that we can include it in all of the activity that's happening. And it then becomes part of the year and also documented as part of the year when we look back at the end of it all. So.
Because, of course, GBN is the Manx Language Network, organises or has been organising Blaine the Gilga and planning for it. And GBN, of course, includes Culture Vannon, Manx National Heritage, the Department of Education, Munja Verga, and probably several other organisations that I always forget one of them. But Blaine the Gilga is not just for the organisations that are already established to run these things, is it?
No, Blaine the Gilga is for absolutely everybody on the Isle of Man. So regardless of whether you've had any experience whatsoever in the past with Manx, this is a year for you to either expand your knowledge or to dip your toe in for the very first time and just go, do you know what? I've always been curious about the fact that the Isle of Man has got its own language, but I've perhaps not had the confidence to find out a bit more about it or wondered whether or not it was for me. So regardless of your age and your experience, please engage with the year, because it couldn't be a better year to find out more and to really sort of dip into it for the first time if you're curious. Myself included, lots of people are coming to the Manx language later on in life. I didn't really start my journey with the language until a few years ago. I'm not going to tell you my age, but it's in the middle, and I'm really enjoying the new opportunities that the Manx language has opened up to me, musically, socially. I found it extremely welcoming community that the Manx language has created here on the island, and you're always guaranteed a really warm welcome. It's so encouraging, and it's a great way of getting yourself out there and meeting new people.
And when I was setting up this interview with you, I wrote probably about half of my emails in Manx, and half of the content of the email in Manx. And despite being a learner, you managed quite well with the words that you'd learned.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm beginning to find that my comprehension of Manx, written Manx, is beginning to get there. I find it personally much more challenging to express myself in Manx verbally and actually come out with speaking Manx. So for me, for my personal challenge this year, for the Year of the Manx Language, is to increase my confidence in saying and speaking Manx out loud to other people.
So. And that is quite a hard thing to do. I often make this statement, and I'm not wholly sure how accurate it is, but there can't be many people left on the Isle of Man that don't know what Maramai and Fastamai mean. But actually using it, I've set myself a policy in all the various roles that I have of always addressing every email that I send now with either Maramai, Fastamai, or occasionally Evi, but I don't tend to be sending emails too late at night. I haven't done that before on a regular basis. I've done it to Manx speakers, but not necessarily to people who I don't know whether they do speak Manx. And it's having that confidence, isn't it, just to use the bits of Manx that you know, and know that actually that's what's being encouraged.
Yes, that it's being encouraged, and that really out of this year, we want it to be normal on the Isle of Man to start with Fastamai or say Gurumayad at the end of something, you know, for this to be completely normal and natural, because it should be. It's the language of our island. So the more that we all start to do it, it will have a cumulative effect, and you won't feel strange saying Fastamai or Maramai anymore. It will just be what we do on the Isle of Man. So, and I think that perhaps in the sort of Manx community, we may feel that, you know, Fastamai, Maramai, Gurumayad, Gurumayu, it's well known. But I think that there's probably a lot more that we can be doing to encourage the wider community out there to use the basic phrases. We've got a really exciting project coming up for the summer months between Easter and around November, where we are going to be introducing a passport type project, which will be open for everybody to use on the Isle of Man. And I can't go into too much detail yet because we're still working on it. But this is going to really, really prompt people to use Manx in their daily life, going into local businesses. So going into shops, going into cafes, going into any of the cultural experiences we have on the Isle of Man, there's going to be some real incentives to actually be brave enough to walk in and say Maramai, Fastamai, Gurumayad, and we'll see where that takes us. But I think being able to integrate it into the business community and the retailers, the shops, the hospitality that we have here, we'll just normalise it. And hopefully we'll then build on that and we can move on from just the basic greetings to a little bit more. So,
and there are, I mean, there are 2,000 people, around 2,000 people anyway, but I think it might be slightly more than that now, who claim to speak more than a few words and phrases of Manx. Now, if you were a business and you were aware that that's the case, actually, you should probably be encouraging customers that speak a bit of Manx to use a bit of Manx with you, because that's going to be good for business.
It would be hugely good for business. I think that by demonstrating that you enjoy the Manx language and that you're welcoming to the Manx language, those customers that have a little bit of Manx will be encouraged to go back. It will create a real sense of loyalty and community, and that everybody's upholding the Manx language together. It's real cohesion, and so yes, definitely makes business sense to engage with the Manx language. Visitors as well to the Isle of Man absolutely love to discover Manx, because visitors have chosen to come here because the Isle of Man is a unique place and because the Isle of Man has such deep culture. And if they then see it in action, you know, as a living language, then that can only be more exciting, and just that sense, deep sense of place is really pushed. So yeah, it would be wonderful to see Manx being used by the business community, and particularly in our amazing independent shops and hospitality that we have here on the island. So.
And of course, the use of a language, a minority language, if we can use that term, is not necessarily, you know, I think sometimes people think that, oh, well, that'll put off people that don't understand. But actually, most people in Europe speak more than one language. And most people in Europe that choose to come and visit the Isle of Man would be expecting to find a language that's different. And even people who are monoglot English speakers, which tends to be the case in most of the British Isles, you know, you've got Celts, you know, Scots, Irish and Welsh, all of whom have Celtic languages, and many of whom would be looking to see a little bit of Manx.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. I think that it's becoming, because of the work that has gone on in so many places now to protect minority languages, I think it's up on people's radar a lot more than it used to be. We've actually got a very nice event coming up that Kulturvanen is organising in collaboration with Munja Vega, and that is called Mother Languages Day, which is a UNESCO celebration of languages across the world. And we're going to be hosting a celebration on the 21st of February in Douglas at the Promenade Methodist Church. So it's going to be during the daytime on that Saturday. And this is an invitation for people living on the Isle of Man who speak any language at all whatsoever, people that have either chosen to make the Isle of Man their home, or they speak other languages from having lived away and come back. It's a celebration of all languages and the Manx language as part of that. And it's just going to be very fun. Day where we do language exchange, perhaps learn some songs, perhaps learn some different cultures, a little bit of food from different places. And it's all just about recognizing the importance of language and how it unites us and how we all communicate, and how very important it is to protect all languages, including our own.
And what would you say to those, because there are, I mean, I know, because I've met plenty of people who you might describe as diehard Manxies, that are Manx through and through, and I don't need any old language just to prove that I'm Manx. I mean, it's not, that's not what the language is all about anyway, but how would you convince them that actually maybe they should at least give it a try?
Well, this is it. I think that To be able to engage with the language just unlocks a whole new dimension of what it means to be Manx. It's all around us, whether we notice it or not, but subconsciously we all are. And we all probably know a lot more Manx than we probably give ourselves credit for. And how wonderful would it be to then actually, when you're looking around and seeing place names and wondering why certain places are called what they are, to actually understand the root of that name and why it is the way it is. I think it just definitely, it certainly makes you see the Isle of Man in a whole new light. And then why would we not want to engage in something that is so unique and so special and so Manx? It can only be beneficial. If you don't, that's okay. And it's, you know, learning language isn't going to be for everybody, but it really is worth giving it a try, because you just never know where it might take you.
And of course, the thing which I think you've already alluded to is about any activity, whether it's language learning or whatever it might be, actually getting to be part of a community is really quite important these days, because we seem to be drawn more and more into our electronic devices, and you know, we don't tend to do, certainly what used to happen when I was a young fella, which is several years ago now, I have to say, but you know, every week there would be an event in the community, and when I say the community, I mean the village or the parish. There would be things happening. Now it's much less. There are much less things on, and far fewer people actually go out to these things. So actually, this language learning thing gives you the opportunity to be part of a quite a big and growing community.
It is a big and growing community, and very, very welcoming, very friendly, and it's great to see the Year of the Manx Language calendar beginning to really fill up with all kinds of different events. So some are around music, some are around the spoken word, there's singing, there's so many different speaker events on throughout the year. There seems to be constantly a new topic coming up, organised by all different kinds of organisations on the island. So there's so much to learn about, and it blows my mind really how varied and interesting the island is and how much there is still to learn. And we're so lucky to have people on the Isle of Man so willing to share their knowledge and their experiences. And I think, you know, if you had the time, that there'd be several things to go to every week. And I think the difficulty is going to be picking and choosing the things that you can get to and getting to what you can. But yeah, I would really encourage people to get out and try some of these events. And you don't need to go with other people. I've found that it's really very welcoming. You can go on your own and feel completely comfortable. So yeah. Make it a New Year's resolution to do something different, new, go out and experience the Manx language in whatever form that suits you, and just see where it goes.
And you yourself, I mean, you mentioned that. I mean, I'm sure you can't be much more than 25, but but what whatever age, I mean, you said that you've come later on in your life to find out about the Manx language. What did you, if you thought anything about Manx, what did you think about it before you became interested?
I think that I had always noticed Manx around me, and it was something that I had always sort of quietly been interested in, but never organised my life to find the time to do anything about it. And really, it was for me, the epiphany came when I went away with a previous business that I was involved with, and I went to the Festival Interceltic de Lorient, and I sort of was drawn into Manx music at that point very, very strongly. And at the same time, I also saw the Isle of Man with the other Celtic nations being treated as an equal nation in amongst Scotland, Ireland, Cornwall, etc., and thinking, wow, I hadn't really sort of taken it on board just how important our culture is and how it plays such an important role within the rest of the Gaelic community as well. And it just really sort of gave me the impetus to go, do you know what, this is really something I want to get involved in now. And so I, through friends, started learning a little bit of Manx, signed up to the lessons with Ruth Kegan-Gell, who she coordinates all of the Manx learning. So for people that are actually interested in learning academically the Manx language, she's the point of call for adults there. And yeah, I haven't looked back. My only regret is not getting involved in Manx activities much earlier in my life. I feel like I've missed out. And I think that is not going to be the same for younger children now coming through, because there is so much more out there for people to engage in, and because the schools are much more actively involved in promoting the culture. I have a 10-year-old boy, and he's coming home from school in Ramsey, and he's telling me about the Manx words that he's learned. And so it's so encouraging to see that there is momentum now, and that it's really building, and that it's now becoming just a normal part of the Manx curriculum to accept that we have this amazing language and to promote it and to use it. So, yeah.
Since 1992, when Manx was introduced into the schools as a peripatetic subject, you know, thousands of children will have been through the Manx lessons. We've had Mundia Vega established, Mundia Vega, of course, celebrating its 30th year this mm-hmm. year. At least 2,000 children have been given a fairly basic level of fluency from Mundia Vega. If nothing else, they'll know how to sing some of the basic rhymes and songs mm-hmm. in Manx. So actually, compared with probably the last four or five generations, really, the younger people have had far more opportunity to find out about and use the Manx language.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. And of course, the Bun School Gaelgach as well, and all of the alumni of that primary school who are out sort of living their life wherever they are in the world. A majority of them would be here on the island, but these are young people who have got this secret skill, you know, that they can speak the Manx language fluently, and they get together and they speak together, and that alumni is growing year on year, and it's just amazing to think that it's beginning to sort of grow to such an extent where it is not far away from sort of creating a life of its own, which is wonderful. And those children eventually will have children of their own that they will hopefully bring up bilingually, and we'll just push that pendulum back to where it should be, which is a growing language with a future. And that's exciting.
And it is very exciting. So in terms of your own language journey, how difficult is it to learn Manx, would you say?
I would say that it is challenging. I've come from learning French and Italian, so a very different style of language. So Gaelic languages are quite different from Latin-based languages. But I think if you're interested in languages at all, and your brain is sort of attuned to thinking in different ways, then you will pick it up. And it's so much easier to pick up and learn a language when you've got other people around you, so easily around you, to have conversations with and to emulate and to listen to. It's actually quite hard learning a language from elsewhere in the world on the Isle of Man, because to actually go and be in that culture, you've got to get on a plane to be there. You don't have to get on a plane to learn this language. It's right here. It's our language, and it's right here on Manx soil. So I think where there may be challenges with getting your head around the word orders and things like that, and certain pronunciations, that is then, you know, on one side, you've then on the other side got this real ease of reaching people that can help you, and the support network for learning is immense.
And of course, if anyone is interested in learning, your newfound employer is the ideal place to go and have a look.
Yes. So the best place for anybody who's actually interested in signing up for Manx language lessons would be to go to the learnmanx.im website. That is run by Ruth Kegan-Gell, who is the Manx language officer at Cultrevanan. And Ruth organises everything to do with Manx lessons that are run through Cultrevanan. And there are opportunities there for various stages. So for people that have literally never done anything at all, right through to people that have, you know, are probably in the mix already and looking for the next level up. So go on there. But this year there's going to be workshops all over the place and different things happening throughout the year. So as well as looking at the Learn Manx website, make sure that you're keeping an eye on the yearofmanx.im website, because all extra things will be put up on there too. So,
and I suppose then we're getting towards a final question. How excited are you to be in this role?
Oh, incredibly excited. It's a bit of a dream role for me, really, because it pulls together all the sort of professional skills that I have and have enjoyed doing over a varied career here on the Isle of Man before. But to do it for Year of the Manx Language, which pulls together my passions, I'm super excited, and I'm so looking forward to working with everybody. I'm looking forward to meeting so many people, new people. Bringing new people in to the Manx language is what really, really makes me excited for this year. We just want to expand and to get out in front of new people as much as we possibly can, and for them to then, you know, light that spark in them to then take it forward themselves. That's what we're looking to do.
And what a tremendous achievement it would be for the Blaen na Gaeilge, the Year of the Manx Language, if our success could be that people just see using a bit of Manx as a normal thing.
Make it the norm. Yeah, it's the Manx norm. We should feel completely comfortable and confident saying Moramai, Vastamai, Evai. It's all, yeah, it should just be what we do.
That was Blaen na Gaeilge Coordinator Tiffany Carouche. Next, Department of Education Manx Language Officer Rob Teer.
Well, Jeeban is a group of people who work with the Manx language in various capacities. We meet together and share ideas and share projects that we're working on and discuss strategy.
Yeah, and Jeeban is made up, I mean, there's various people from various parts of the Department of Education, obviously the Bunscoil Gaeilge, the Manx Language School, as well as the peripatetic team, which you used to be the head of, but
yes.
There's now a new head of the peripatetic team.
Yes, that's Cathy Glucas.
And, of course, Cathy, well known to Manx language circles as one of the pioneers who started Mundia Verga. She was the first non-governmental paid person to work for Manx in probably more than a couple of centuries.
Yes.
Yeah. And as far as Jeeban then, obviously Jeeban was responsible for a strategy, Manx language strategy, being produced. Why is it felt necessary to have a Blaen na Gaeilge, a Year of the Manx Language?
Well, if I think back when I was younger, I didn't know very many. Well, I knew of Manx speakers my age, but I didn't know many Manx speakers my age, and. You'll remember that too, Phil, when you knew everyone who could speak Manx.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it wasn't that long ago, really. Maybe 20 years ago, you could be pretty confident that you would know pretty much all the fluent speakers
but
of Manx.
You probably wouldn't know most Manx speakers these days, right? Mm. I certainly don't. I don't. So, so things have moved rapidly in the last 20 years. And I think, we saw it was a good point now to celebrate that and to push on.
And of course, there are a number of anniversaries. I mean, depending on which part of the Bible, which publication of the Bible, we've got a 250th anniversary this year. We've got a 30th anniversary of the establishment of Mundia Verga. Yeah. I think there were a few others as well, but
It was the 35th year of my role. I don't know, as head of the Manx Peripatetic Service and Manx Language Officer. So, I mean, I haven't been in it that long, but Brian Stoll was the first in 1991, I think. So.
Yes, and then it was Phil Kelly.
Yeah.
And was Rosemary Derbyshire, of course. Yeah. And then you took over from Rosemary, was that right? Yeah. So the year is going to happen. What shall we expect from this year? I mean, I often say to people that what I hope for is that by the end of the year, it will just be the most normal thing in the world for everyone to be saying Moramai, Fastamai, Guramayu and things like this to each other. Yeah. I mean, that's not a particularly high bar, I don't think, because I think most people do know those sorts of things.
I think most people are familiar with lots of things in Manx. It's whether they, like, take the actual step to start using some of it, you know?
Yeah, and that's harder than it first appears. You know, I find myself that if someone writes to me in English and sends an email, I mean, most of the work we do these days tends to be done through email. So if someone sends you an email with an English salutation, you tend to respond in English, don't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's something that should be forced on anyone. Mm. But I say it's the people who know stuff, it's getting them to use it, you know. And I say it's a big step, especially if you've grown up in a monolingual society. It's a bit different if you're used to using another language regularly. And I think the good thing these days is that we're a lot more cosmopolitan than we were when, well, you know, the Isle of Man wasn't that cosmopolitan when we were young, was it?
Well, it was primarily Manx people and people who'd moved in from the UK or Ireland, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we weren't used to hearing people speaking in other languages, and we'd sometimes, you know, people would make strange, you know. Mm. You'd feel a bit self-conscious back in the 80s talking in Manx. Well, as now, I just like, well, I talk Manx to Manx speakers if they're happy to use it, you know.
Yeah. And it's a tremendous thing, really, that so much has changed in our lifetimes. I mean, certainly, I was reflecting there on Munja Vega, and our great success as an organisation is normalising children learning through the Manx language at a very young age. You know, that it's not such a big deal as perhaps it was when we were starting off.
Well, I think it's still a big deal for teenagers to use a different language when people can feel a bit self-conscious about that. And that'll be true for anybody who has children where the family language is not English. They'll appreciate this, that their children are fine, and then suddenly they get to teenage years and they feel a bit self-conscious. They don't want to use that language that's only the family or only one group of friends, and that's natural enough. But I think a few things I remember 30 years ago, maybe 40 years ago, speaking in Manx in the street in Ramsey, and somebody hearing it and coming over and saying, that's wonderful to hear.
Mm.
And a few things like that can actually change your whole perspective, that actually people want you to speak. If you can speak Manx, people want you to use it.
Yes, and again, one of the character traits, the national character traits of Manx people, is you tend not to be that good at pushing yourself forward for things, and maybe that's part of the reason for the previous decline of the language.
Well, I think, like I say, I think society's changed generally. They're much more open to hearing other languages. People understand more and more how enjoyable it is, and how good for your brain it is to sometimes use a different language. You know, it's hard to explain, but if you can do it, you realise how important to you it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do, because you were formerly the head of the peripatetic team, but you've now got it's probably not a different role, but it's parts of the role are what you would have been familiar with, as well as heading up the peripatetic team.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed teaching for a very long time. But one of the problems with Manx, as you know, is you need a lot of materials. You need an exam board, for example. You need we're in desperate need of a grammar book. We need, if not a dictionary, at least we need a searchable corpus of words to search and to look things up, and things that are based on, you know, that have roots in the historical language.
And this is not to say that the books that we already have, because we have dictionaries and grammar books, it's just specifically in your role, you're looking for things that are more targeted at the younger audience, at school kids.
Well, it's for all areas, really. I have one role which is like an outside exam body, so the kids are not being examined by the same people who teach them. It's also just to support the language generally. So language planning is a big, important step in language revival. And we can't be reinventing the wheel all the time, or we need something to refer to. If I don't know how to spell something these days, I'll type it into a search bar and it'll come up. And if I'm speaking in another language, different other than Manx, and I'm not sure of a word, I've got native speakers to go speak to. Or I've got, in English, if I'm looking for a word, I've got the whole internet to look at. So Manx also needs those kind of resources. So we've got, I've been busy compiling, I think we're up to about 800 documents now, going back 400 years, so that if we want to find a word, we can look it up.
And that's not just finding a fairly basic dictionary definition. This is finding an awful lot more out.
Gives you the context, and in some cases, it'll give you the pronunciation too. Mm. And the other thing is, you know, if Manx is going to grow, there's going to be more and more translation work, more and more need to know terminology, and we need the good resources to do that. If you sort of think the last physical dictionary of like in book form was from, what was it, 1979?
Yes, that's right, because Dougie Farragher, his very famous work, the Manx English Dictionary.
And you know how important that's
absolutely
been.
Absolutely. I think, and it's terribly sad because Dougie died, and there's this really...
Did you ever know Dougie yourself?
I met him once. At an Crunioch. I was introduced to him and had a brief chat, but didn't really know him. But yes, Dougie died, and there's a I think it's a BBC... Was it BBC? There was a film, anyway, of Dougie sat in Braddon Churchyard, which was very symptomatic of what he was saying, which was basically he'd spent his life work producing this dictionary, had thought that this was going to create a fundamental change for the language, and it hadn't happened. This was probably in the mid-80s he was talking. The dictionary had been published in 1979. Sadly, he died before he
saw how useful it was.
Absolutely, because so much of what we've done has depended on Dougie Farragher's dictionary.
And I've got to say, like, I've done a lot of transcription and side-by-side translation to make accessible all of his old columns in the newspapers too, and they are fantastic.
It's wonderful. And fortunately as well, Manx Radio have got quite a lot of recordings that Dougie did for this radio station over many, many years as well. For those who don't perhaps understand why his dictionary was so important, you have to remember that we were relying on primarily two Manx English dictionaries, which were written in the early part of the 19th century, together with an English Manx pronouncing dictionary, which was a relatively slim volume. It didn't have all the words in, which J.J. Neen produced, I think, was it in about 1930s sometime?
Yeah, it came out in a series in the 1930s, and then it was published in book form. But I've got to say, that book was very important too.
Yes.
And I have, on my bookshelf at home, I have Brian Stoll's original copy, from when he was 15.
Yeah.
And he said he used that to help him write his head boy speech at Douglas High School for Boys.
Yeah.
In 1953, I think it was.
And he wrote that in Manx.
Yes.
Yeah. And
he was told not to. The governor was coming, and the headmaster said, "You can't read that in Manx in front of the governor."
Hmm.
So this is how far we've changed now. The governor's pretty good.
Yes, the governor's keen. Yes. He'll certainly use a bit of Manx on Tynwald Day, which is a great thing. Having those old dictionaries meant that if you wanted to speak in Manx about all the old agricultural fisheries practices, you were in. You had no problem at all. But if you wanted to talk about most of the stuff that happens in the modern age,
well, it was quite difficult. I'm thinking about Ned Begg. Begg would say all of that stuff. Religious stuff is important. Rhoda would ask him, "Why are you doing all this religious stuff? We want to know about folklore and fairies and stuff." And he said, "It won't stand the fire. We only want fireproof stuff."
Yeah.
So these days we've got everything, not just the fireproof stuff, not just the religion.
And of course, fashions change. And perhaps when Neddy Begg was writing, of course, Neddy Begg Humrai wrote much in the latter part of the 19th and early 20th century.
Yeah.
But and we'll come on to him. In his time, religion was perhaps a lot more important than it is now. And nowadays, we're probably as interested, if not more interested, in fairy stories and folk tales.
Well, certainly we feel that's more unique, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to my story, there were people around in Ramsey who were very keen to try and teach. There was to young people. Phil Kelly was a teacher at my school, you see. I went to Albert Road. And then we had Charles Kane just around the corner from where I lived. And then Freddie Cowell.
Yes, of course.
Freddie Cowell would, when I was probably too young to be in the pub, would sit and teach, and was very, very good.
Hmm.
And
I was going to call him James Cowell because that's how we know him in Manx. But Freddie had this tremendous knowledge of the Manx language, didn't
and he was very keen to share it. And his Manx was very, very good. So I picked up quite a bit from him, and then I was studying by myself for quite a long time. And then when I was away, I lived in London, I lived in Sacramento, California, and then I was in Japan for a very long time. But when I used to come back, I would try and go see people like Johnny Crellin and Leslie Quirk in particular. I must have spent an awful lot of time chatting with Leslie
and Quirk. Both of whom have been fundamental to the modern age in terms of their encouragement of Manx speakers. Both sadly passed away now, but very, very important.
And a big, very important person for me then, after that, would be Paul Rogers.
Yes, yeah.
Because when I met Paul, I thought, wow, his Manx was really good, and his passion and his ability to explain things. So he's been very good over the years. When I'm not quite sure, how things work, Paul, go ask Paul, he'll know.
And of course, that's the difference. Again, for people listening at home who maybe only have ever had one language, The great thing, you could say this is the same with Manx, but particularly with English, obviously it's clearly the language that everyone in the Isle of Man speaks.
Yeah.
So it can develop its own sort of way and its own direction. It's more difficult with a language like Manx, where there are substantially fewer speakers. If half a dozen speakers start using Manx in a slightly different way to the rest of the island, it's more difficult to justify than if there were if it were in English, which is a kind of a vibrant, very popular language.
There's a counterintuitive thing there. You would expect a big language to be more diverse, but actually, a big language is being standardized all the time, because you've got billions of words going through the internet. And so if you want to know how to spell something, you can find out. And it's been standardized. It's had the resources to standardize over centuries. So it's had newspapers, school textbooks, all those kind of things. Small languages very often are quite different from village to village. So how do you standardize that? If it was just one person saying, I think it should be this, you would be, you'd cause terrible, you'd cause a riot, wouldn't you?
And indeed, you know, it happened.
So my part of my work with the corpus is to say, this is what Manx is, and if you want to know what's the most common spelling of this, well, look it up. And but that doesn't mean you have to think that's the right way.
And that's not to say that Manx doesn't have some form of standardised orthography, but there's some level of flexibility there too.
There's flexibility, but at least people can. It's not people arguing over things. It's just people can look at the resources and decide for themselves, and you can just assume. Well, you know. Obviously, they know it can be said this way, but they've chosen that way, just the same as things are in English.
One of the other really important parts of your role, of course, is representing the Isle of Man, or assisting your minister representing the Isle of Man at things like the British Irish Council. How does that work?
Well, the British Irish Council meet regularly. In fact, we had an online meeting yesterday. We don't meet in person very often. But what we can do is share developments. We can discuss, we can look at changes in legislation, we can look at developments. Quite often, I will meet up with people. So, for example, Jersey have their own Norman language, and they're making great strides now.
And coming to the Isle of Man to find out all the good things that we've been doing as well, which is good.
And they've made Gerier an official language of the island. They have Gerier on their banknotes. They've really moved forward in lots of ways. They've for years they sort of neglected it really.
And why are they doing that? Because I think that's the thing that many non-Manx speakers puzzle over. Why would you bother with it?
It's a very intangible thing, isn't it? You feel it or you don't.
But I imagine that the government in Jersey is putting Gerier on banknotes because it means something. It's basically showing that Jersey is not just an offshoot of the UK. It's a separate, independent country.
And they have, well, if they don't protect their language, no one else is going to. You know, it's down to them. And do they want to? Because your language holds all your history, culture and heritage. Everything that's uniquely yours is in your language. And Jersey recognised that. Actually, they met with, it must be about more than 10 years ago. I went over there with a couple of young Manx students. And the politicians and different people met with them, and one of their old Gerier speakers was saying to the politicians, look how much this means. And they were pretty inspired by it.
Good.
So
and it's a really inspiring thing, and what a tremendous 40 years we've both lived through. I will concede that we are a little older than that, this last four decades, things have changed immeasurably.
It's been very hard work, and we've taken a lot of stick for it. and you know, it's a lot of people have been against it over the years, but I think you wouldn't change anything, would you, Phil? You wouldn't, if somebody wanted to take your Manx away from you now, you couldn't think of anything worse, could you?
Absolutely, and I can't imagine that it would be politically acceptable to do it. Anyway, that's all we have time for, okay. Sadly. We could have, I'm sure we could have talked for hours. But,
well, I probably blathered on too much anyway.
Yeah. Well, good am I, Morris.
Nobody, wouldn't you?
That was Manx Language Officer Rob Tia. So what do you think? Big fan of the language, or do you think it's all a waste of time and money? Let me know your thoughts on the programme by contacting Phil Gorn at manxradio.com and get in touch if you have any ideas for future shows. Don't forget, this programme is available as a podcast. I'm Phil Gorn. Go to Myers and Geistergrom. Thanks for listening.